This is Stories from Lincoln Public Schools for Wednesday, February 27th, 2019. Hello from Lincoln Public Schools. I'm Brian Fitzgerald.
And I'm Mindy Burback. Welcome to Stories from Lincoln Public Schools, our podcast that gives you an inside look at the people, activities, and programs that make Lincoln Public Schools the wonderful place it is.
And today we're going to hear a discussion that you had this morning with Cody Thatcher, social studies teacher at SCO Middle School.
Yeah, Cody is one of those dynamic teachers. I sat down with him today during his planning period. We did it over the computer. We have this great Zoom software that allows us to connect without having to drive to one location or the other. And one of the reasons why I wanted to tell his story is that he has such a unique way of connecting with students. And if you follow his Twitter at all, you can see some of those ways he captures it and shares it with others. You're going to love it. So, Brian, what's on the website this week?
Oh, there's some fun stories. First, there is this construction club, part of a CLC up at Arnold Elementary School. And you did a Glimpses video that showed last night at the board meeting. And it is such a neat activity. You know, we talk a lot with things like the Career Academy about career readiness for, you know, high schoolers, sometimes with middle schoolers. But this Arnold CLC was talking with a statewide construction trade group and saying we should do something for elementary students. And so they've been working, building things, even doing some stuff with concrete. And a student out there, Olivia, said, sometimes, you know, things don't work out, but you get to make different things that do. Which, you know, sometimes you don't think of this as science, but it's like there's your scientific process. You're trying, hypothesis, theory. Oh, that didn't work out. What do I need to change? What a great thing for those elementary students to be doing.
And teaching them that it's okay if it doesn't work out, because we learn in that process of failing. We learn lessons and valuable lessons. And it was a great, fun experience for me to go out there and shoot that video as well.
And sometimes with construction, those failures fall on your fingers. So
that's right.
plaster masks taking shape in a Rousseau art class, a fun art project that we get to have up on the site. One of the fun things in this story was one of the students talking about how they were looking so forward to getting to do these in fourth grade and how much they enjoyed it. I was thinking about those different things when you're going through grade school that you see the older students doing. It's like, oh, I can't wait until I get to make this, do this, go to that place. It's always fun to have things that as a student you get to look forward to.
And I heard from several parents that they still have those masks that their kids made. Like they remember their kids doing that looking back, and it's one of the things they still have.
That's fun. And they get to use it as a research project too, getting to find out through history how have masks been used, been made, what have they meant to help them form their own process for how that goes together. And then yesterday we had our February Learning Lunch. Liz Standish, our Associate Superintendent for Business Affairs, sat with the people that came for that Learning Lunch, gave them priorities, gave them things that they could help fund, and said, if you had to do the budget yourself, what order would you put these into? And it was really fun to hear. And you can hear because, Mindy, you were walking around table to table with a little mic. And if you watch the video, you can hear it, what all these different tables were talking about as they put those priorities together.
It was interesting to hear what people thought was a priority. And then, you know, they were asked to do it in a straight line, but they couldn't. They really struggled with putting priorities in a straight line. They wanted to group them and say, well, this tier here and this tier here. And you can hear what people are passionate about, which is what we've got every year when we do this budgeting process. Everybody wants their stake to the claim of the budget to make sure that their program is growing or sustainable. And so it was really interesting to see that all play out just with these community members. Brian, my favorite takeaway from this every time that Liz does this presentation is that she reminds people that, you know, salaries, teacher salaries is about, and staff salaries are about 82% of our budget. And that's equates to about $25 million each month that's payroll. $25 million that is payroll. So it's not like we collect the tax dollars and it just sits in a bank and we're hoarding it. This is payroll that's going back out into our community because we pay our staff members, and the staff members are going out and they're spending money for groceries and houses and taxes and services, and they're putting that money back into that economy. And it really it makes you, it opened my eyes anyway, as to how much money we're really pumping back into our community that supports us so well.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing, while we were hearing those different tables yesterday, it was fun. You'd have one table that would say, you know, we have to do early childhood first because the effectiveness of everything else is based on getting education and a good environment around those you know, little youngsters. And then we'd have another table said, you know, you have to do the utilities first. You have to have good facilities. You have to pay the bills and all that. And of course, we'd have one that says, nope, right away, we have to get great staffing. Right. And so, you know, the way that all these different tables would jump on the same problem and immediately have different answers to, that was a lot of fun. Mindy, what do we have coming up this week?
Well, we have a lot coming up for performing arts this week. And again, you can go onto our website, lps.org, and click on the community arts calendar to see what's going on. We've got some great things. We've got Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella at North Star. It starts tonight, or actually Thursday night. It starts Thursday night, Friday and Saturday. So if you want to see a great musical, visit North Star. You can buy those tickets online. That link is on our website. We also have the Lincoln High concert coming up. Saturday, we have Northeast has a rock show choir. That's always fun. Monday, Lincoln High instrumental and orchestra concert, and Southeast has a jazz band concert. So if you like music, you've got your pick on Monday night. Tuesday, we've got the Lincoln High Chamber and IB Music Recital and the Southeast Singing Nights and Northeast Theater Presents Skelling. So we've got a lot going on.
I'm going to have to look in to see what Skelling is.
Yeah,
I don't know what that is.
A
couple other things next week. Our art students have a Friday art show. That's right over at the Arts and Humanities program across Capitol Boulevard from Lincoln High. Some people call that the Baller Building, but it's down there. And then I'm sure nobody realized that this was coming right up, but spring break is that next week.
So, I can't believe it's here already.
The snow needs to go away.
I think
and
so.
Then we can have spring break. Otherwise, it's winter break again. Mindy, so we talked a little bit about Cody Thatcher. What did you talk about?
Well, I caught Cody on one of his favorite days of the year. It's the day that he teaches about the Black Plague. And of course, in Cody fashion, he dresses for the part. He wears what the doctors wore, the really creepy doctor's mask. And I'm sure you've seen it in several movies. It's really like mechanical bird looking thing. And it looks
like a big long beak.
With a big long beak, yes. And he actually has one and he wears it. And so
did he make it himself?
I did not ask that. I should have asked that. But yes, so it's one of his favorite days of the year. So let's take a listen to my conversation. Hey, Cody, how's your day going?
Oh, awesome so far. We're doing a lesson on the Black Plague, and it's one of my favorite lessons, talking about some treatments back then, so kids are pretty engaged.
A lesson on the Black Plague, so we should probably let people know that you teach 7th grade social studies.
Correct, yep, world history.
World history, and I can't imagine that too many people would say their favorite lesson is the Black Plague. What kind of things do you do for that?
All sorts of things. So there's lots of good documents and resources from people living during that time period. And some of them are pretty wild. The kids really get into the graphic nature of it. We've got lots of artwork that have to do with it. Some of my classes, we do a autopsy on a plague victim. That's kind of their summative lesson. So they'll get a giant butcher paper and have to draw a plague victim and kind of label some symptoms and that kind of stuff. We have some simulations, just all sorts of things. It's a lot of fun.
Sounds like it. So I understand that this is your fourth year of teaching 7th grade social studies at SCO, and that you're actually a product of Lincoln Public Schools. Can you tell me a little bit about your educational journey?
Sure. Yep. I went to Lincoln Public Schools my entire life. I went to Pershing Elementary School, Mickle Middle School, and Northeast High School, and went to the University of Nebraska, and started off in education. I knew I wanted to be a history teacher since probably about elementary school. I really loved history my whole life and wanted to be a teacher for a long time. I thought I wanted to be a high school teacher, and I had an opportunity to do high school for my student teaching. But one of my practicum experiences was at Loeffler Middle School, and I just absolutely loved being in a middle school, and I was really surprised about that. I didn't think I was going to I thought high school is where I wanted to be, and middle school was just so phenomenal. So then when I got the opportunity to work here at SCO, it was a dream come true.
Yeah, and not a lot of people would probably choose middle school, so I'm glad that you chose middle school. Full disclosure, my son had you as a seventh grade teacher, and I think you were one of his favorite teachers. He came home every night talking about your class. So, well,
thank you so much. That means a lot.
So, is there a teacher in your life that inspired you?
Oh, I had a lot. I can remember in middle school, particularly, I had a teacher at Mickle. He was a science teacher, but now he's an administrator. His name's Joe Russo, and he was a phenomenal teacher. He just made every kid feel like he knew that he cared about them, and just had really great engaging lessons. I was in his Native American club, and I'm not even Native American. Like, it was just, you just wanted to be around him. And he made learning so much fun, and just had so many great ideas, and just such a calming presence. And you always knew that he was so consistent, and just really enjoyed having him. And so he would be definitely one that I would say. I've had many others throughout I've had a lot of great social studies teachers that really kind of stoked my passion as well.
Yeah, and your passion is very evident in your teaching, and you come up with some pretty creative ways to drive home those lessons with students. One of them is I stumbled upon your YouTube channel with your parody songs. How did you come up with that idea?
So, funnily enough, my first year teaching 4 years ago, we were talking about the Black Plague, and I found a parody song to Gwen Stefani's Hollow Back Girl. And this song is pretty famous. I'm sure like every seventh grader in Lincoln and around the country has heard this song in their world history class. And it's all about the Black Plague. And one of my students, Corbin at the time, he came up in the middle of class, like, Mr. Thatcher, you should write your own parody song. And I was like, well, what, you know, what do you think I should write it about? And like right in the middle of class, he comes up and he's like, well, you should write one about the Silk Road. And then he kind of came up with this idea of the title. And I was like, oh, we could call it Silk Road Anthem. And it'd be a parody of a Jason Aldean song called Dirt Road Anthem. And we kind of had the hook right there in the middle of class. And it took me about a year to write it. It took a long time to get that first one done because I didn't really know what I was doing. I knew the content I wanted to cover, but just sitting down and writing a song seems really overwhelming at first. And so that took me a year to write that one. And then I released it last year.
Yeah, and I actually have a clip of it. Let's listen to it real quick.
Yeah, I'm trading on the Silk Road, laid back wearing fancy silk clothes. Fireworks blowing out my window and ice cold tea sitting in my camel. Thousands of miles of the straight lines got me missing.
So that's a pretty fun way to introduce the Silk Road to kids. I thought that was pretty clever. And you used some visuals. Where'd you come up with the visuals for that?
Through our curriculum, we have lots of good images. So I try to tie in as many images that I could from our curriculum guides, and all of them are reused and stuff like that. So using maps and to show the Silk Road and just the items and ideas and goods that were traded, because I mean, you got to connect it somehow to them, and a visual is a great way to do that. And that first one, yeah, was definitely, it was tough, and the kids really ate it up. Last year was the first year, like I said, I had this song, and my seventh graders that time, and I can't sing at all. And so I was using a pretty poor mic and had, like I said, no idea what I was doing, but I was like, I wanted to get this done for them because I had kids who wanted me to do it. And so I put it on there, and it really exploded. And they were very excited about it. And
yeah, it's got over like 1,000 views I saw or something like that. So
yeah, I was just going to say, like, 2 nights ago, we hit over 1,000 views. And so I showed my kids that, and my current students, and they were very excited about it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so you've done, I think, 4 songs total, but you're getting ready to release a song next week. Is that right?
That is correct. I actually have about 9 songs written. And the writing part is pretty easy for me now. That, like I said, that first one took a while, but as I've gotten more practice at it, it's coming very easily. So the one I'm releasing on Monday is a parody of Drake's In My Feelings. It's called In My Paintings, and it's about the Renaissance. And so that one will be a lot of fun for the kids to hear. And Yeah, so I have, like I said, about 9 of them done. The writing part's really easy. The recording part's the part that is definitely the most finding. I have a better mic now, and just making sure it sounds pretty good, because singing is not one of my strengths. But I always tell the kids, the lyrics are what matters. That's what's going to help you. And I've had tons of kids say that, like, during the test or, you know, whenever they need to use this info, they kind of play the song in their head, which is just really, really cool.
Is really great that you're able to give them a tool that helps them remember this. I think probably one of my favorite one was Alexander the Great, and I'm going to play a little clip of that here.
July 20 or 21st, 356 BCE. Not quite sure of the real day. It's all ancient history. Well, by Zeus and his grace, I'll be known as Alex the Great. I conquered the world, learned north of Greece. Tutored by Aristotle until I turned age 16. Led an army into battle, defeated many Greek cities, made them join my dad Philip.
Channeling your inner Taylor Swift there, that was pretty good.
Thank you. Yeah, I try to find songs that the kids can relate to and at least have heard before. That makes it a little bit easier. And my second song that I wrote was That's How I Live That Caesar Life, and it's based off of Bruno Mars' That's What I Like. And my current students just absolutely love that one. And it's really cool. I've had a lot of staff support in the building. Other teachers will play if they're having music on during maybe work time or, you know, review or whatever. Our PE department plays it over their big loudspeakers when kids are running and exercising. All my social studies department, they all support it. And our eighth grade teachers will play my new songs for my original fans in eighth grade now. So it's just been a lot of great support. And it's just so much. It's so fun just to see the kids. You know, it's a way to connect with kids in a different way. YouTube is definitely a popular tool for middle school kids. Not a lot of people realize that. They think that they're on Facebook, and middle school kids aren't on Facebook. They're on YouTube, they're on Instagram, Snapchat, those kind of things. And so I'm able to catch some more kids that maybe I wouldn't be able to catch as well by using that medium. And I've had, like I said, I've had kids who will comment on the video, or, you know, leave a bunch of stuff on it and talk about how they played it a whole bunch in their mom's car, or, you know, just whatever. It's really cool how it's kind of grown.
It has grown. And you do some other things in addition to writing parody songs. I think you find different and unique ways of connecting with kids. Now, do I understand? I think I saw this on Twitter. You dressed up as Caesar, perhaps?
Yep. I have a couple of costume days that I dress up. And even today with this Black Plague Unit, I'm dressed as a plague doctor. For part of the class period, as we talk about 14th century treatments for the plague. So I have the mask and one of my graduation robe and a hat on and stuff. So I like to just kind of give them some, you know, make it real for them and make it exciting and different. And the biggest compliment I get from kids is at the end of the year, you know, like, I never liked social studies until I had you, or when parents say, like, you would have been my kid's social studies teacher, or I wish you would have been my social studies teacher. It's just, that means so much. And that's what I want. History gets a bad rap for being boring, and it can be really boring if you choose to have it boring. And I refuse to let it be boring. I try to make it as engaging as I can. And we cover a lot of content. And that's the great thing about the songs. I can talk about literally hundreds of years worth of stuff in a song, and it can simplify it enough where they can get the gist of what they need to know.
Yeah, I think it is important to bring history to life for those kids. And you do cover quite a range. What is your range that you have to cover in a year, history-wise?
So we basically start with the ancient Greeks, and then we end after Christopher Columbus, and it ties in really well with the eighth grade curriculum for U.S. history. So we kind of end with Christopher Columbus and the Aztecs and the European exploring of the New World. And so, you know, about 1500 years worth of stuff. So,
wow, that's a lot to cover. Now, in addition to being an amazing teacher, you also coach. I've watched you on the field coaching middle school girls soccer. I've seen you assist with the boys soccer, but you also coach at the high school level. You help at North Star, and you're very passionate about it. What does that add for you, that coaching? Did you play in high school?
Yeah, I've played soccer since I was 4 years old. It's my favorite sport. I played at Northeast all 4 years, and coaching is definitely what I wasn't a very good player. I worked really hard, but coaching was definitely something that I felt like I had a strength in. Tying it into teaching, like, having a kid with a goal, wanting a goal to get accomplished, it's just, there's no better feeling to watch than be successful. I mean, that's why you're here. And that's why I'm here, is because of the kids. So basically finding out what they need and trying to give them as much as what they need to help them be successful, and then celebrating their successes. Even if it's a small thing, our kids have so many different needs, and being able to get those needs met is definitely what gets the passion burning.
Definitely. And I learned this morning as I was on your website preparing for today. You're also involved in the Community Learning Center program here in Lincoln. What's that? What do you do for them, and why is that so important?
So I've been involved with the CLC program now for this summer will be my 14th summer working with them. Wow. I started right when I was not much older than the kids I was working with as a volunteer for a couple of years. And I've worked it mostly through the YMCA. My first couple of years were through Parks and Rec, and then they had to change the funding over to the YMCA. But I work primarily, before I was a teacher, I was the before and after school program workers. I was a site supervisor for many years, and then a regular program staff for many years. Since I became a teacher, obviously that doesn't work. So I still work at the summer camp, and then I'm a day camp counselor for about 10 weeks out of the summer. And so it's so much fun. I've literally seen kids go from kindergarten to graduating high school. I've been to some kids' graduation parties. It's awesome to see all these different families, and just to see how kids have changed in the last, 14 years, 13 years, just to see the difference in program and availability, and just all it's fun still, and that's why you do it. I go back, I just filled out my paperwork I got rehired for this summer. And so, it's so much fun. And so I'm a big advocate for CLC programs and after school programming in general, not just in Lincoln, but Nebraska wide and countrywide.
Definitely important work. And you don't seem that old, that you've been doing it for 14 years working in the CLC. So you're right. You must have started while you were probably in middle school then.
Yep. My year right before I started, summer right before high school started. Yep.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for visiting with me today. It's been a pleasure getting to know you. And as we're ending this podcast, I want to play the Caesar Life, because again, that you do such a great job with these. So we're going to end this with playing the Caesar Life.
Hey, 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 the greatest empire history. It really is no mystery. You're going to learn some history. So come and get to learning. They're found in Italy. Yeah, found in Italy. In 753, yeah, they made some history. It went from Egypt to Britain.
That was a lot of fun. What a fantastic teacher he'd be to have every day.
I think I would remember more of my history if I had those songs going in my head all the time, probably even today. So
I love the fact that they're not like great songs. I like it when things are approachable, where a kid could be like, oh, I could do that, because we get it built up in our head so much that it's like, well, I'm not that good. I can't do that. Or, it's not going to sound like this, or it's not going to look like that. Just have fun. And those songs are inspiring. There are songs, like you said, that kids, it's my teacher, and I'm, getting to know the content better because of them. The stuff with the black mask at the black plague mask at the beginning was fun. You were just telling me, about his being a coach and stuff. What a great teacher.
That's definitely a teacher who's passionate about what he's doing. He truly buys in on that it's the relationships with students that's going to make the students successful. And he's completely buying into, let's do whatever it takes to get students to succeed.
Oh, that was fun. Mindy, we're out of time here. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We will be back here next week with another Stories from Lincoln Public Schools.